It is the 200 level, Mike Carpenter in the basement studio on what is my spring break, not to brag, on a Wednesday morning as the Big Ten tournament is about to get underway. And guess what? Illinois is not playing on the Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament. It's been a while since we've had to do that. I think the John Gross era would have been the last time. We have played on Thursdays before under Brad Underwood. We played Thursday last year. And if you recall, I think Brad Underwood's first or second year, we didn't even make it out of the month of February. We lost on February 28th, or maybe 29th, in a Big Ten tournament first or second round. How far we've come. And I'm calling this podcast, Let's Hang a Banner. There is, of course, no guarantee of such things in March. We know that all too well as Illini fans, but this team is capable of doing something. And if we were to say what's more likely, a Final Four run or a Big Ten tournament title, I think we'd probably say the latter. And that's not to say that I want it more, but in terms of the more likely banner that you could hang up after the season is over, it feels like this weekend is an opportunity. Now, we know, Illini fans know, that March success, specifically the NCAA tournament, that has eluded us since 2005. And making a second weekend, I think, is at the top of everybody's list, and I get it. It would be still at the top of my list, but I like tangible things. So I don't want to overlook the possibility of winning a Big Ten tournament title. In my life, they have won three of them. Let's see, is that right? Yeah, 2003, which would have been Dee's freshman year and Brian Cook and Sean Harrington's senior year. A really good team that missed out on the Big Ten regular season title by one game, one stinking game at Wisconsin. I think Devin Harris hit some late free throws for that. Then Illinois won it in 2005, and that was expected. And I don't want to say anticlimactic, but kind of. We were still kind of washing off the stink of that Ohio State loss. Bruce Weber's mom had died that same weekend of the Big Ten tournament, and by the time Illinois won it on Sunday against, I think, Minnesota, Billy Packer had to cheer up Dee Brown. I don't know if you recall this post-game interview, but Dee was like depressed because he had not played well that weekend. It didn't matter because Darren was Darren and the rest of the team was still the Final Four caliber team that they were. But that was a cloud was kind of hanging over things. We knew that this team was built to make a run in March in the NCAA tournament, not the Big Ten tournament. So we'll take the banner, thank you, and then we'll move on. And then after that, you had to wait a while. You did make, I think, a couple of Big Ten title games. There was one in 08 when Illinois wasn't very good, and they got smoked by Wisconsin that Sunday. Then there was 2021, and that was a Big Ten tournament title that we all really wanted because this was less than a week removed from the Big Ten deciding, no, we are not going to award co-champs for the regular season despite Michigan missing a few games due to COVID. I don't need to dredge all that up again. I think that Illinois was deserving of a share given the weird circumstances of that year. But Kevin Warren and other Big Ten commissioners or Big Ten ADs did not agree, and that's the way the cookie crumbled. And what did you do? You went to Indy and you won the Big Ten tournament title, which felt so good. We know what happened the week following, but you know what? It was still a banner you could hang. And I do think that there is some meaning in that. I think when you are looking at the overall health of a program, banners are one tangible thing that you can say, we accomplished this. We did that. And you have an opportunity this week. I think there's a very good chance that Illinois makes it to Sunday. And honestly, the way they're playing, I'd be kind of surprised and a little bit disappointed if they didn't. At which point, you're lining it up one more time for a third game, in all likelihood, against Purdue. I think Zach Edey has had a little bit of back or leg soreness, so I don't know if they're going to take it a little bit easier on him or not, but I really think as long as you just trot him out there if you're Purdue and the guards play okay, you're going to make it to Sunday as well. So it seems like there is a 50% chance or so, given the fact it's a single elimination tournament, 50% chance or so that we get that rematch between the number one and number two seeds. I'd be all for it. And I do think it has some meaning for how we look at this team. And I'm about to say something that might seem counterintuitive. Regardless of what happens in the NCAA tournament, let me throw this hypothetical out there. Illinois wins the Big Ten title, tournament title, excuse me. And they lose in the second round to, let's think of a five seed he might play. Ugh, Washington State. Wouldn't feel good, right? Questions would persist. But would we really be able to talk about the season as anything but a success? Listen, if you want a Big Ten tournament title, that's 26 wins already. I mean, this team's 23-8. That's a really good record. Let's not forget that. And they won 14 Big Ten games. They won three more in the tournament. That solidifies them certifiably right behind Purdue, and maybe not by all that much, in a tough conference. If not top-heavy, a pretty balanced Big Ten. Yeah, that's a successful year. The reason I bring this up is not to put on the proverbial cup before the NCAA tournament. I'm not just trying to protect myself from a gut or and or nut punch here if we lose in the NCAA tournament. But I bring this up because Tennessee had won the SEC title last week. And there was a national writer that got a lot of guff from people on Twitter, and I think rightly so, for kind of going at Dalton Connect for celebrating a regular season conference title as if it didn't mean anything. And it does mean something. In tournament titles, even if it's an afterthought compared to the regular season title, it means something. Not many teams make deep runs in the NCAA tournament. Hello, Captain Obvious. I understand that's not really a bold analysis, but four teams ultimately are happy at the end of every college basketball season because they get to hang that Final Four banner. And another 16 feel pretty good because they got to make it through that first weekend. And part of what I love about making it through the first weekend, and I've not experienced it very much in my time as an Illini basketball fan, it's that you get a whole extra week to look forward to more NCAA tournament games for your team. That extra week of being able to just kind of bask in the glow is something that I am looking forward to whenever it happens next. And I think there's a decent chance of it happening this year. But it is still a single elimination tournament. And should it be the only barometer for how healthy your program is? It should not. You might have thought that I was coming on here with a title like Let's Hang a Banner, specifically focused on the NCAA tournament. But I'm in a place right now where I just want this team to play as many games possible before the season's over. We sit here on March 13th, and this thing could be over in a blink of an eye. I don't want that. Yeah, there's been some frustrations with this team, but overall, it's been an entertaining and fun year, and they have exceeded expectations. I thought that this team was a top four Big Ten team, maybe top five. I thought defense would be the name of the game. Maybe not quite. And what they gave us was one of the best Illinois offenses, 14 Big Ten wins, and maybe not a whole lot of marquee wins, but they got road wins against the Iowas and the Wisconsins of the world, rivals. They beat Michigan State at home. They got a big neutral site win in New York against Florida Atlantic. They beat Missouri, beat the brakes off of them in bragging rights. No matter how bad Missouri is, that counts for something. They have given us a lot of fun games and a lot of fun basketball. And what I want to talk about after the break here, after the sponsors, is the overall health of this program and a bit of gratitude, because I understand that I come off sometimes as the negative Nancy, so to speak. Oh God, here's Carp all pissed off for no reason again. I try to be very careful about that and not just pick out every little issue. I don't try to do that, but I understand how it could come off like that, especially in the second half pods. But no, as I'm sitting here on the 2 days before Illinois makes their Big Ten tournament debut, I am overall just really happy about the state of this basketball program. And there is someone at the very top that we need to talk about who has resurrected, might be a bit of a big word, but has certainly brought Illinois back to relevancy in a way that I haven't seen it for almost 20 years. So let's do that after the sponsors, who are DP Dough. Online at dpdough.com for all the best deals and prices. dpdough.com, they deliver anywhere in Champaign-Urbana. So go online to dpdough.com and get a custom zone with any topping you want, or one of their favorites like the Maui Wowie or Buffer Zone, online at dpdough.com. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, give them a call at 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing is your home's best friend. it might be time to get that AC check scheduled. It's going to be 72 degrees today. And yeah, a little bit of more seasonable weather is coming up. But you know that if the winter was any indication, we're going to be getting warm temperatures consistently pretty soon. So give them a call at 217-841-4728. That's Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend at 217-841-4728. Owen Builders LLC. I'm on owenbuildersllc.com. Check out a gallery of their work online with home additions, patios, decks, porches. These guys are really good at what they do. And in addition to that, they are excellent at communication, which that can be an issue sometimes when you're working on home projects with contractors. They're busy guys. Well, Owen Builders and Luke, I can vouch for personally, they keep everything very organized and easy for whatever project you are looking to get accomplished at home. It's that time of year. Get it done before summer hits. Go online to owenbuildersllc.com. And finally, State Farm agent Brian Hansen, online at brianismyguy.com. For life, auto, home, business renters, you name it, Brian is my guy. And he can be your guy as well at brianismyguy.com. Quick thing before we get into the rest of the podcast, we're going to be at Poor Brothers in downtown Champaign on Sunday. That's this Sunday, Selection Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. Great beer drinking day, maybe the best beer drinking day, and no better place to do that than Poor Brothers in downtown Champaign. I'll be there with Isaac, and Champaign Showers will be out there as well with their brackets, which you can fill out as they are unveiled. And there will be a QR code, I believe, on the brackets. So after you fill out the brackets, you can fill them out online to enter the Champagne Showers Bracket Challenge. So we're going to have fun. I hope this becomes an annual thing at Poor Brothers. We love what they do in downtown Champaign. This will be our third live broadcast from there. Come on out. It's going to be a beautiful spring Sunday. And if Illinois is in the Big Ten Tournament title game, we will get there nice and early. Set up shop, and we'll do a second half pod as well. We'll double header it. So that's Poor Brothers on Sunday. And of course, as I mentioned, Champagne Showers Podcast Network, appreciate them. All right, before I get going any further on this Wednesday morning, a little coffee. Yep, that's the good stuff. Enjoying the spring break, sleeping in until 7. That's what you get when you get older. 7 o'clock is sleeping in. And enjoying this beautiful weather, which has really got me in the mood for postseason basketball. We will be out in the garage again on Friday, even though it's a little bit chillier. I got it all set up for me and Isaac for the game at 5:30 against Iowa or Ohio State. Now, when I ended the Iowa podcast on Sunday, I was all but certain it was going to be Iowa versus Minnesota. But then Maryland, who just sucks to high heaven, Kevin Willard, what a doofus. How do you suck that bad with that talent? They have NCAA tournament talent, and they just suck. They're playing on a Wednesday in the Big Ten tournament. Anywho, Maryland gets smoked by Penn State, and that means that Ohio State got slotted into that 10-7 game. A red-hot Ohio State team. We'll talk about who I think will play Friday in just a bit, and whether it matters, because Iowa and Ohio State, both dangerous in their own way, but come on. You're better than them. Let's just keep it simple. As I mentioned that you are better than Iowa or Ohio State, and you're better than most teams in the Big Ten, not named Purdue. Let's talk about the overall health of this program, because, you know, at the start of this year, I was excited to an extent that, yeah, we aren't going to suck and it's probably going to be a good season. But last year left such a bad taste in my mouth with how it went down and all the strife off the court, just a bunch of silliness that, I don't know. It worried me, to be quite honest, that maybe Brad Underwood, as good of a crewer of talent as he is, that there was something amiss with the culture, with the micro game management stuff. And we still have some questions on that. But I think the biggest story of this year, more than anything, is washing the stink off of last year, which could have turned into a bigger thing. Could have turned into your program is in shambles and you keep losing guys to the transfer portal. And in many ways, this has been Brad's most successful season to date, which might sound ridiculous, given the fact that the team in 21 got a 1 seed and a Big Ten tournament title and really put Illinois on the map again. I think that it was Brad Underwood's ability to very quickly identify guys in the portal that could immediately help this team and be key players, specifically Quincy Guerrier, who, my God, if he's back, look out. And Marcus Damask, who was an all Big Ten selection and wasn't on the radar for most, hey, here are your top 20 transfers in the portal. No, but Brad Underwood identified that early and quickly he got it done. Justin Harmon, boy, I know he's up and down, but you could do far worse as far as a bench player. So that talent accrual, along with keeping Coleman and keeping Terrence, and overall fielding just a really fun basketball team, much more fun than I would have anticipated, maybe a lot of Illini fans would have, and reminding us that, hey, Brad Underwood as a Big Ten basketball coach is hard to beat. This, to me, despite not winning a Big Ten regular season title, which doesn't bother me all that much because this was Purdue's year and we could have seen that coming from a mile away, this was a nice sort of palate cleanser and a reminder that, man, we are in a really good spot in the immediate future, but also I think the long-term future. The ability to go out and get talent and use the portal, that has been one of Brad Underwood's strengths, and I would imagine that the NIL money will only continue to rise for Illinois and keep them in good shape for that. As far as coaching in a macro perspective, he has maximized what this team can do offensively. And defensively, at least in the month of March, and I got to credit Mike LaTulip for this, who mentioned it on his pod with Jeremy, it's only a three-game sample size, but according to the metrics, you were the 18th best defense in the country in the month of March. You played Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue. Three good offenses. Three good to great offenses, right? And you've done all right. And isn't that all we were asking of this team in February? God, guys, just feel the serviceable defense. I don't think they're the 18th best defense with a snap of a finger in the nation right now. I don't think that. But if they're somewhere around 50 or 60, which I think is very possible, and you match that with the offense, then Brad Underwood has gotten this team at a place where they can finally make that March run. That will alleviate all the concerns, all the remaining concerns that we have. Because really, the little micro in-game stuff, yes, that is a concern, but something that you're going to get with every coach. There's no perfect coach. So that's something that in the heat of a game, when I'm reacting to the second half on the podcast, yeah, I'm going to get frustrated with certain things that Brad Underwood does. But I don't think that that overall takes away from his coaching ability or how I view him as a coach, which is, wow, he's pretty damn good at his job. The thing that we are all concerned about, justifiably, is can he make a March run? And that is what remains to be seen. But as I sit here as an Illini fan that grew up with the later Henson years, I was too young to remember 88, 89. So I got the post 89 and I got basically the post Deion Thomas, Bruce Pearl thing where Lou Henson was making tournaments, but they were not a threat in the Big Ten and they weren't a threat to make a run in the NCAA tournament. I grew up with Lon Kruger and I love Lon Kruger. We look back on him very, very fondly. But this is someone that never got out of the second weekend of the tournament, including when they had a clear path as a four seed, or excuse me, I think a six seed, playing a 14 seed Chattanooga. A clear path to the Sweet 16, didn't get there. And we look back fondly on Lon Kruger. Now, he left the cupboard full for Bill Self, and of course, he looked back fondly on him. The run from 2000 to 2006 is still the best that I've seen as an Illini basketball fan. But the run from 2019 to now is right behind there. And the only thing really separating those two, well, not the only thing, because that run from 2000 to 2006 included four Big Ten regular season titles and one and two Big Ten tournament titles. Banners galore, right? That's why I say, let's hang a banner. Let's keep doing it. Stack them up. Between that and March success, that's what separates that era from this era. But I tell you what, this is a pretty good era that is putting you in position to accomplish many of the things that they did back then. And from 2007 to 2019, I wasn't sure we would ever get back there. We had some lean years. The tail end of the Bruce Weber era was just, you know, you'd start every season thinking, well, we got Dimitri, we got Mike Davis, Mike Tisdale. Oh, they added Jeremy Richmond and Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson. I tell you what, he actually accrued talent at the end, but he just couldn't bring it together into a cohesive whole. People kept saying he was a great in-game coach. I don't know. I question that sometimes because I really think that those tail end of the Weber teams had enough talent to be better than what they were. But regardless, it didn't work. And we would feel that right? We felt like, God, we're just stagnating. And why are we stagnating? And then the John Gross era, despite a promising first year, that shtick wore off quick. A nice guy, but just wasn't cut out for the Big Ten. We dealt with two really bad Underwood years, but by year three, even though it took a couple months into year three, it quickly turned around. And ever since January of 2020, you are still the winningest Big Ten team. That was a stat that was being thrown around a lot at the end of last year. And I kind of poo-pooed it and said, you know, well, that's great and everything, but Bruce Weber could have said the same thing, and then things fell off a cliff. I don't know if I thought that things were going to fall off a cliff after last season, given that you brought Terrence and Coleman back and some other talented guys. But I did wonder, did we miss our window of opportunity to really do something? And at the end of this season, I don't feel like that's the case. Even with all the guys that are going to be leaving after this year, it feels like you have a guy at the head of your program that knows how to navigate this current college basketball landscape, that knows how to retool and reload instead of rebuild. And I guess it's just kind of a liberating feeling to say, that's my guy. Overall, I've been a big fan of what Underwood has done. And anytime I've criticized him, it's been for things that I would acknowledge are, you know, frustrations, but they didn't diminish the overall impact of what he's had here. And my God, Lou Henson was venerated here, as he should have been. But that's a guy that won one Big Ten title and made one Final Four and one Elite Eight in about 16, 17 seasons. We're in season 7 of Brad Underwood, and he inherited, like Lou Henson did, kind of a mess. Are we venerating Brad Underwood the same way that we are Lou Henson? And a question for older fans. When Lou Henson was here, was he getting criticized consistently? I would imagine he was. I would imagine that with the disappointments in March, when you had a string of teams in the 80s that were basically top 10 caliber, but you only had one Elite Eight and one Final Four to show for it, and only one Big Ten title, I would imagine that there were some frustrated fans that felt like, man, like, Lou can get us here, but he can't just get over this hump, whatever that hump may be. And then eventually he did. And that 88-89 team is as big a part of his legacy as anything, and why that court is named after him. And it is deserving for his name to be on that court. He set up Illinois for success in the modern college basketball landscape. Is Brad Underwood setting you up for success in this landscape of college basketball? I think all signs point to yes. And that's not a gimme. We know that from personal experience, and we're seeing other programs like Michigan that kicked our ass roundly with John Beilein not even get to double-digit wins in a season. We see that with Ohio State that while they're turning it around, fired their guy that maybe 2-3 years ago were thinking, man, is Holtman maybe a little bit better of a coach than Brad Underwood? And here's Brad Underwood, despite roster upheaval, and coaching carousels and all of that, for the most part, just kind of cruising along at Illinois. What a benefit. I mean, it makes watching college basketball fun in a way that it was not for well over a decade. It brings back a little bit of that Illini pride, the fact that you can wear your orange or your blue on game days and kind of puff your chest out a little bit and say, hey, we're good again. And no, we aren't at the top of the mountain. And maybe we'll get there someday with Brad Underwood. Maybe we never will. But I enjoyed the Henson era. I enjoyed the Kruger era. I enjoyed the Self era. I enjoyed the first part of the Weber era. I'm enjoying the Brad Underwood era. I'm enjoying being an Illini basketball fan. And I think most Illini basketball fans are in the same boat. Are we going to criticize? Yes. Do Green Bay Packer fans criticize their team? Yes. Is it good to be a Green Bay Packer fan? You bet. It's amazing to be a Green Bay Packer fan. What I would give as a Bears fan to have that, just as if I were an Iowa basketball fan, Iowa. What I would give as an Iowa basketball fan to get what Illinois is getting. I'd be envious. But no, I get to be in the position with Illini basketball to feel pretty damn good about things. Maybe it's because I'm older. Maybe it's because I'm trying to reflect on what it was for a good chunk of time with Weber and Gross. And that, you know, listen, when you're younger, you sort of, you mythologize whatever era you grew up in, okay? So the later Henson years, I can look back and Deion Thomas, Kawan Garris, Richard Keene, TJ Wheeler, Tom Michael, Robert Bennett, Shelley Clark, Andy Kaufman, Rennie Clemens. Okay, a lot of fun, right? But they weren't accomplishing what these guys are. It hit me during the Purdue game, and even though we lost, I wasn't really too broken up about it because that was a really good national title contender making plays, right? And you weren't making enough, and that was something that Illinois came out with an edge against Iowa. That was good to see. That game pissed them off, and that's good to see. Didn't really piss me off as much as it did them, apparently. But I turned to my niece, who I was sitting next to, and it kind of cheesy. I didn't aim to be cheesy, and I might have come off that way. But it was right after DeMass tied the game up. And I referenced that point because that is the sort of moment that you need to grab onto as a fan. You can't take those for granted. Even though the game didn't end the way you wanted to, I tried to mention to her, like, hey, soak this in. Like, she, as a fifth grader, is living through a really good era of Illinois basketball. When I was her age, Kruger would have just started, but I didn't get to experience that level of stuff. Yeah, the Assembly Hall was rocking, and if Bob Knight came in town, or Iowa came in town, or I guess Michigan to a lesser extent, yeah, you know, it'd be a pumped up atmosphere, but it wasn't like Illinois was really playing for the same stakes that she's able to witness now as a fifth grader. When I was a fifth grader, it was just get in the tournament and lose to, I don't know, Villanova or Georgetown in the second round. And then ho-hum, do it again next year. She's getting to see top 10 caliber basketball on a fairly consistent basis, or at least top 15, top 20. Brett Underwood's teams have been ranked far more weeks than they have not in the last 5 years. I'd love to see a stat where that would be, but I would imagine the last 5 years, wouldn't they have been ranked something like 70, 80% of the time? With the exceptions being early in 2019, 2020, and then last year at the tail end of it? Haven't they been ranked most of the rest of that time? Not taking it for granted. And I enter this Big Ten tournament both loose and hungry. And I wonder if it's the same for the team that finished second in the Big Ten standings, that has Final Four talent, though of course a lot of things would have to go right for them to get there. But are they entering Minneapolis after last year's disappointment against Penn State and 2 years ago, Coleman would remember at least, 2 years ago losing to Indiana, the first game of the Big Ten tournament? Are they entering this both loose and hungry? And I would imagine they are. I think it's actually a pretty good spot for them to be in because they look at their bracket, they look at the teams they faced, all of whom they've beaten, in some games close, some games not, and thinking, okay, just let's take care of business. This is a business trip. We're better than the teams that we're playing, potentially playing on Friday and Saturday. So let's go freaking beat them. I would imagine that's where they're at. I got a couple things in the chat thread. I hope that wasn't waxing too poetic about Brad Underwood. Again, I have problems with him. Stop sending Justin Harmon to inbound the ball. You know, don't get too cute with rotations when you have a 20-point lead in the first half of a game against a team that's got... Listen, these are in-game criticisms that are valid, and we are in a fortuitous position where we can criticize, but also acknowledge, like, hey, things are really good, right? From Andy. Wait, let me get some coffee real quick, Andy. There we go. We are due to finally get some luck in the tournament. Seems like recently we're getting paired up with teams who are much better than their seed. For example, Houston 2 years ago, and Andy, you didn't mention this, but of course Loyola being vastly underseeded, would love to see a 12 in round two. From Ben D, mostly been good from Underwood this year at Illinois, but the true test will be if he can reload again next year after losing these starters. Don't expect another year this good, but let's see. Ben, 100%, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I will say that you're going to have a lot of money to play with. There's already whispers of like AJ Storr coming here. He's Terrence Shannon Jr. light, okay? He's not as good as Terrence Shannon, but I think what you need next year, you need scoring. I don't think athleticism, and I don't think defense or size will be an issue. Merez Johnson, I think, will be an immediate impact guy. I love Ty. I think he's going to be a 30-minute game a guy, 30-minute per game guy next year. Jeez, that was a tongue twister. But you can't bank on that to score. I think that right there, Ben, is the big thing. Go out and get scores. And I think that you can completely change the type of offense you're trying to run. If you can get a playmaking point guard, I think you go do that. It'll be a fun offseason, and it will be a little bit scary at first, knowing who you don't get back. And then, Ben, the other storyline to follow will be if Damask applies for and is able to get a waiver, because his sophomore year, he only played 10 games. I'm not counting on it. It would be the biggest bonus ever. Oh, yay, you get a 23-year-old Marcus Damask to come back and be an immediate first-team All-Big Ten preseason selection. So a lot to sift through. You're losing a lot of good players, no doubt. But that opens up a lot of opportunities. And I would imagine, I think we've seen with each year, he's gotten better at working the portal, gotten better with it. Early on, whether it be, and this is maybe not transfer portal, but Andres Feliz was a JUCO pickup, immediate impact guy, point guard. Plummer, what a find. Was he the only guy in the portal that year? Jacob Grandison before that, even if that was pre-transfer portal, that was just a transfer, I think, pre-portal. He's had a really good knack for identifying guys that can help out immediately and play like starters minutes. So I would imagine this entire season, they have some board in one of their offices of here are the guys that we're going to target when the portal opens up. And I'm sure there's back channels and all of that now, just as there is free agency in the NBA or any professional league. That's what it essentially is now. Okay, so, Andy, I want to go back to what you had mentioned. Finally get some luck in the tournament. You know, I'm looking at Brad Evans' website, The Gaming Juice. Recommend it. They have a big board on there. They do some bracketology stuff. And at the moment, they've slotted Illinois as the top four seed. And the three seeds, just to give you some context, Brad Evans and his staff have Creighton, Baylor, Duke, and Kentucky at the three line. And I think that all makes sense, especially the way Kentucky's playing red hot. And I don't think you need to worry about a 4-5 Illinois-Kentucky matchup. Kentucky is probably above you. The four line, remember, you're the top, according to Gaming Juice. They have Kansas, Alabama, and BYU on the four line. On the five line, Auburn is the top five seed. And that would be one, Andy, that you want to avoid. Not just the Bruce Pearl thing, but the fact that they can cook offensively. And their defense isn't all that bad either. They're not good against quad one. Auburn is 1-7 versus quad one teams, but they're still 24-7. I think they're going to win enough games here in the SEC tournament because they have a favorable bracket to avoid the five line. I bet they work their way back up to a four. But how about like South Carolina? Would South Carolina scare you? Would Clemson scare you? Would Washington State? To give you an idea of where they're at KenPom compared to you, South Carolina is 47th on KenPom. That's like closer to Iowa. Washington State, 45th. Clemson, they're a little bit better. Clemson finds themselves at 24th. I'd take those in the second round. You're top 10 on KenPom, right? You got the number four offense, got a defense that went from like 102 to 73 based on the Iowa game alone. Crazy, I know. But those five seeds, I'd take it. I'm going to go to this thing called Bracket Matrix, which is they put together all the brackets and kind of come up with a consensus of where teams are. And here's what they have. Kentucky, Illinois, Alabama, and Auburn are sitting pretty firmly on the four line according to all the brackets that they look at. On the five line, BYU, South Carolina, Clemson, San Diego State. Let's see, where's BYU at? BYU, Metrics, love BYU. They're 16th in the country. That would be a tough five seed. San Diego State, 21st. But again, you wouldn't necessarily be getting that 4-5 matchup, the dreaded, oh God, they're number six on KenPom. They're actually far underseeded from what they should be. And then maybe you get a break. Maybe Utah State sneaks a five seed. As things have sort of settled, Andy, with these seedings and where teams are at, I think you feel okay. There's not that Houston as a five seed lingering out there. Auburn would be the closest thing, but again, I think they're going to get a couple wins this weekend to stay off the five line and join you on the four line. So, hey, I say all that, and I'm going to be nervous as hell when the brackets get unveiled, and hoping that, first, the 13 seed we play doesn't immediately pop out like, oh, God, not them, anyone but them. And that the second weekend, or the second round matchup, would be the likes of give me South Carolina. Come on. I mean, just going off metrics, I will take a South Carolina. I'll take a Clemson. I'll take a Utah State. Maybe we get that break like Andy was mentioning. But first things first, Andy, we got all next week to talk about the NCAA tournament. I want to hit up before we get out of here the Big Ten tournament, which starts today with Rutgers, Maryland, which, man, I thought for a little bit there in early February, Rutgers was going to make a run. Not at all. They've fallen flat on their face. Maryland, if I'm a Maryland fan, what do I got here with Kevin Willard? What do I really have here? You just wasted an amazing year by Jameer Young. An amazing year. You don't get point guards. They don't grow on trees, guys like Jameer Young, and they just sucked. Michigan and Penn State in the nightcap. Penn State by 20. I would imagine. But let's just have some fun. I don't normally do this, but I love brackets. It's that time of year. So tonight, I think Rutgers gets the win. No. Do I? Not that it matters. Ugh. Yeah, I'll take Rutgers. They just, as bad as they've been down the stretch, I just will trust Steve Peichel more than Kevin Willard. And then I'll take Penn State over Michigan. Okay, tomorrow, we got some fun matchups, actually. Minnesota-Michigan State will be a really fun one to kick things off at 11. I like Michigan State. I don't know what's going on with them, and they're going to make the tournament. Apparently, they are firmly on the board. I mean, Bracket Matrix, for example, has them slotted in at a 10. So I think worst case, they'd be a last four in, and they'd play the first four in Dayton. But they're just really, as Trevor said in our chat thread, they're just playing with their food right now. Like they're bored or something. A very disappointing year for them. I will take Michigan State by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Oh, I don't know, though. Do I want to go? No, I'm going Minnesota, and then they get an interesting matchup or rematch against Purdue. I'll go with the upstart Minnesota team. Younger, more fire, something to play for. Because they would have to make a deep run in the Big Ten tournament. They'd have to win it, I think, to get in. Okay, Wisconsin versus the winner of Rutgers, Maryland. I'll take Wisconsin in that. Not great, of course, down the stretch. Very lackluster, but I'll take Wisconsin to maybe even win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State, Iowa, the one that we'll be watching. I went back and forth on this, and I would rather, I think, play Iowa. The whole beating a team three times as hard, nah, I don't know. Not if the matchup is good. So I sort of like Illinois over Iowa more than Ohio State, the way Ohio State's playing. I just get the feeling, though, that Ohio State is playing more balanced right now. And that Iowa, if there is such a thing as a hangover effect after getting their bubble burst on Sunday, it would linger into tomorrow. I could see that happening. I pick Ohio State to win and present an interesting matchup against Illinois on Friday. All right. Indiana versus the winner of Michigan, Penn State. So Indiana versus Penn State. Indiana's playing well. Not as well as Mike Woodson thinks. That guy has a lot of bluster. He's just not very likable, but they are playing tough. I got Indiana to beat Penn State. So that would leave on Friday, Purdue versus Minnesota. Minnesota's fun. We saw it firsthand. They're tough. I just can't quite go with that upset pick, so I'm going to go scratch on that one, but I think it will be a fun game to watch, Purdue over Minnesota. Wisconsin and Northwestern. Wisconsin over Northwestern, a depleted Northwestern team that is just patched together with tape and bandages. And yeah, I think Wisconsin somehow gets into Saturday. And you're thinking, oh God, Greg Gard is doing it again. Don't worry. They will lose on Saturday. Illinois versus Ohio State on Friday. I still like the matchup. I think that the way Illinois is playing since the Penn State game, overall, the way Illinois has been playing has encouraged me. And I think they get the win against Ohio State. I think it's relatively close for a while, but Ohio State can go cold sometimes too. Let's just check and see what Ohio State's been doing recently. I mean, they're on a little bit of a heater right now, but I don't know really who they've beaten. Well, I say that they've beaten Purdue, but Here's what they got. Four games in a row. After the Purdue game, they lost at Minnesota. That, no shame in that, 88-79. They won at Michigan State, though I think that's almost symptomatic of Michigan State just having their heads up their butts, 60-57. They beat Nebraska at home by 9. They beat Michigan at home, but who doesn't? And then they, I think, impressively beat Rutgers on the road, 73-51. So, yeah, they're playing well at the right time. I think Illinois would get a close win. It's not a game that you should freak out too much about. Am I going to kind of be rooting for Iowa tomorrow? Kind of. But Illinois over Ohio State on Friday. And then Nebraska, Indiana. Boy, Nebraska just has better guards. Yeah, I take Nebraska. I do. Okay, so here's your Saturday, according to me. I got Purdue versus Wisconsin, Purdue. And I got Illinois versus Nebraska, Illinois. Illinois, Purdue. There you go. Does Illinois beat Purdue? I can't make that prediction. A lot would have to go right. Talk about beating a team 3 times. Purdue's better than you are. And that's okay. But they are better than you are. So a lot of things would have to go right in that instance. And what am I looking for mostly, though? Possible upset of Minnesota over Purdue. I'm going to look for that. And, of course, tomorrow night, Ohio State versus Iowa. I'm going to kind of be rooting for Iowa. I know what I get from Iowa. I don't know what you get from Ohio State since you last played them, which was all the way back on January 30th. And ever since then, they've been playing better. They've been playing better, and they're on a little bit of a heater, so we shall see. Listen, it's not going to be easy. Like, if they make it to Sunday, it's not like Illinois is just going to cruise and blow teams out. And it's not like we've been blowing teams out that much anyway. But in this college basketball environment, there's not a whole lot of blowouts to begin with, because just the parity and the competitive nature in this kind of college basketball, it's just different than it was like 10, 15 years ago. I like Illinois to make it to Sunday. I do. And I titled this Let's Hang a Banner, so let's do it. Let's hang a banner. Let's win the Big Ten tournament, and let's just dispel any fears of, oh, if you make a run in the Big Ten tournament, that means you're doomed for March. I don't think history would suggest that. I know anecdotally, we look back on 2021, and it's like, well, did we have any bullets in the chamber after the Big Ten tournament win? Is that why we lost to Loyola? Well, maybe it played a role, but I think it was more to do with really poor game planning and Loyola just being underseeded. You know, there's no excuse for that game. Them being underseeded or not, let's say that were a Sweet 16 game, you still should have beaten Loyola. Let's say that were a Elite 8 game, you still should have beaten Loyola. It just happened to be in the second round, and it was that much more disastrous. But I don't think winning the Big Ten tournament precludes you from doing anything that you want to in March. So, all that said, I mean, God, Illinois is a 4 seed, right? In the NCAA tournament, they're a 2 seed in the Big Ten tournament. They're in a good position to make a run. I think they'll be kind of the sexy pick to win the Big Ten tournament this weekend, and I think they got a shot. So let's do it, and join us Sunday, hopefully for a long 200 level, at Poor Brothers downtown Champaign, and we'll keep you posted on when we'd get there. If Illinois is in that Sunday game, I'll be getting there early afternoon, just setting up shop and watching basketball, and then podcasting the second half of the Big Ten tournament final, if Illinois makes it. And no matter what, we'll be there for Selection Sunday, the unveiling of the brackets. I'm excited for it. This is such a fun time of year, and you are relevant, and you have a chance. And that's all I'm asking for. Now let's just play the games and see what the hell happens. It's going to be nerve-wracking. It's going to be exciting. And then just imagine, okay, just picture, if you wake up on, what would that be, Monday, March 25th, and you get a whole week to look forward to a Sweet 16 matchup. Just imagine that. It could happen. With this team, it could certainly happen. So embrace the fun of it. Embrace the nerves and the anxiety and all that comes with it. And embrace the fact that Brad Underwood, to his credit and to these players' credit, they have firmly entrenched Illinois as one of the best teams in the Big Ten. And I don't see that going anywhere anytime soon, even with some attrition from this year's roster. Before I get out of here, I feel like there was one more in the chat thread. This is from AO. A couple things I'll hit up real quick, AO. I think the next year or two, we have to develop the young guys. We will struggle, but like a program like Illinois, is it really sustainable to depend on transfers every year? See Arkansas. That's a very good point, AO. Also, he continues, what is really a successful season? A Sweet 16 should be given. When you have 24, 25-year-olds playing against 18-year-old kids, Elite 8 or bust, in my opinion. They can do it. Chances are you're going to be playing a 1 seed if you get to the Sweet 16, and that's just... tit the ball and see what happens. But AO, to your first point about is it sustainable, I would agree that it might not be. I think that if you were to have the continuity next year of Ty, I know Amani hasn't played much, but I still overall like what he's going to be doing for you. And a Merez Johnson, I know that's not a lot as far as a core. We'll see what Luke Goody ends up doing. Nico Moretti, I don't know. Yeah, next year is going to be interesting. You're going to have to really hit it in the transfer portal. Arkansas is a good case that you cannot rely on that. But I think between Merez Johnson and the following year with Jeremiah Fears, you're seeing that he's going for much more targeted, smaller high school classes and saying, this is my core. Okay, these are my high school core kids, 2, maybe 3 a year, no more than that. And then we're going to go out and get some dudes. What I'd be interested in, AO, is if they go out and get some transfers that might be sophomores or juniors. We've grown accustomed to the senior transfer. I don't think you'll be waiting as long for guys to transfer out of mid-major programs. I think that instead, you'll see guys enter as juniors, much more common. And I would imagine those will be the prize transfer portal guys. All right, we got a lot to talk about in the weeks, fingers crossed, in the multiple weeks coming up, at least the next two. And it continues on Friday. Isaac and I will be in the garage for a Big Ten tournament second half podcast against either Iowa or Ohio State. And let's hope the fun continues into Saturday and Sunday. Got to thank DP Doe, online at dpdoe.com. Owen Builders LLC, online at owenbuildersllc.com. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend at 217-841-4728. And finally, let's see, did I do State? Oh, yeah, State Farm agent Brian Hansen, online at brianismyguy.com. Champagne Showers Podcast Network, who will be joining us at Poor Brothers on Sunday for Selection Sunday. Be there, 5 o'clock, that's when the brackets are unveiled, but come out earlier, grab some brewskis on St. Paddy's Day. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your week. Big Ten tournament begins. Great time of year. Let's have some fun and let's hang a banner. It is the 200 level.